This week on Straight Talk Africa, according to the International Labour Organization, the latest global estimates indicate that the number of children in child labour has risen to more than 160 million worldwide. Over half of them are in sub-Saharan Africa, driven by population growth, extreme poverty, and inadequate social protection measures. What must be done to stop the exploitation of the children in all its forms? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from VOA headquarters here in Washington. I'm Vincent McCory. You know, child labor remains a persistent problem globally. According to the UNICEF, along with the International Labor Organization, children in child labor are those entering the labor market or those taking on too much work and too many duties at too early an age. 160 million children, 63 million girls, and 97 million boys are in child labor, accounting for almost 1 in 10 of all children worldwide, nearly half of whom, 79 million children, are in hazardous work. Now, in Africa, the situation is aggravated by the fact that Africa has the lowest social protection coverage in the world, and functions that are the least covered include access to education, sickness benefits, benefits for children and family, and employment protection, and pensions benefits. Now, in 1998, Nobel Peace Laureate Kailash Satyarthi, child labor and human rights activist, founder of Kailash Satyarthi Children's Foundation, marched around the world with a cause to mobilize millions against child labor. Today, he is still passionately trying to protect children and keep them in school. Kailash recently visited several African countries. Kailash Satyarthi now joins us live via Skype from New Delhi, India. Mr. Satyarthi, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thank you, Vincent.
Yes. Now, first, we want to just kind of break down things here. People hear and talk a lot about child labor, but sometimes they get confused. What constitutes child labor?
Child labor is simple, that children who are forced to work due to any economic compulsion, social compulsion, or any physical force, and they are engaged in any economic activity which is exploitative and abusive. And child labor forms a full circle of illiteracy and poverty. Each of them are causes and consequences of each other. Poverty fuels child labor, but child labor also perpetuates poverty. So is the situation of illiteracy. If we don't have enough opportunity for education, then children would be pushed into child labor. But if the children are forced to work and living in conditions to earn pittance of money or no money due to being bonded labor in mines and factories, then they can never go to school. So child labor is not an isolated problem. It is linked with so many other factors, and these are the two major factors.
Yeah. Now, there some will tell you, especially in rural communities that are poor, that they have to pool together in order to, you know, sustain their lives. So, for example, children will wake up in the morning, go to the farm to work, picking tea, for example, or taking the cattle or goats to the field. Then they can come back home and go to school, probably, and then later again they'll be helping the family. Does that also fall under child labor?
Yes, of course. If anything which denies good quality, free public education and full-time education, then it is child labor, in my opinion. Of course, there are some compromises in some countries, but legally, no child should be employed in any economic activity until the age of 14. In any situation. And no child should be employed in any hazardous occupations up to the age of 18. But unfortunately, people think that children can go to work for some time and they can go to school for some time. This is unacceptable because it creates and perpetuates imbalance in the society, but also inequality. We can never create an equal world where everyone has opportunity to go to school and fulfill the dreams to grow if the child labor continues in any form, even for few hours of the day.
Yes.
And I would say that most of the work is hazardous, physically or mentally. No child would love to go to work on its own if he or she has better opportunities for life and good schooling, free of cost, public education.
Yes. Now, I'm still kind of looking for clarification for this on behalf of some of the parents who may watch. Those who say they're working on our own farm, I mean, they're helping in the family so that we don't have the means to employ people from outside. We're poor people. Is that, you know, consider they're not employed by somebody else. They're working in the within the family setup.
In this situation, the basic problem is that farming or agriculture productions are not sufficient for them. So they are forced to work and engage their own whole families. These farmers have to be paid proper price for their production, for their crops, and that is unfortunately not happening in many of the developing countries. And that is the compulsion, that is the economic compulsion which forces their children to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that must not happen because every child has a right to get free compulsory education. And that is one of the things which have been time and again resolved as well as committed by the international community. Now we have sustainable development goals where we have to achieve good quality free public education for every child.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to eradicate all forms of child labor by 2025 to attain education.
Which is 2025 is very soon. I just wanted to ask you, you recently traveled to African countries. What is your assessment? Where you were, what did you see in terms of the level of engagement of kids in child labor?
Assessment is very simple that, as you have just shown, that 160 million children are working at the cost of their childhood, freedom, education, and healthcare. Because most of the children who are working in any situation have mental or physical ailments due to working long hours a day or working in child labor situations. And we cannot attain these goals. Neither education goal nor the eradication of child labor if we don't think out of the box and if we don't take very bold initiatives. And that is the situation even worst in African countries, where in the rest of the world, the number of child laborers has decreased, but in Africa it has increased. Similarly, the number of out-of-school children in Africa has increased in last 5-6 years after the Sustainable Development Goals announcement. And in the rest of the world, out-of-school children number has reduced. So this is the crux of the problem. Globally, the number of child labor decreased, but in Africa, 16 million more children have been added to child labor workforce between 2016 and 2020.
Now, do we know why the number has increased in Africa?
There are several reasons. One is that Africa is facing multiple problems. One is that many of the wealthier countries have shrinked or have reduced their overseas development support for the cause of children, may it be the overall development, protection, health care, or education. Secondly, you can imagine that how the profit, all kind of profits coming out of mineral mining and other sources are offshored from Africa to European countries or in America. And that is a huge, huge injustice. And Africa is facing injustice. You can see that during last 10 years, world has become $21 trillion richer. But on the other hand, African children are forced to work and live in these conditions, which are extremely inhuman and appalling. And take the case of DRC. We are proud that world is going green and all the green energy is coming from mainly cobalt. And the children in Africa are working and mining in cobalt mines. On the other hand, we are happy that cobalt is making the world green, and the EV cars are using that cobalt. Europeans and Americans cannot use child labor in their countries. There are very strict laws, but they are free to use child labor in Africa very easily. That is the reason that demand for cheap labor in Africa has grown in the supply chain. And this is the problem. Another problem is the international tax injustices, the debt situation. Most of the African countries cannot pay off the debt, but the debt is going on. And the interest is so high that many of the countries have to pay more amount of their GDP than what they can spend on education for children.
Now, we are actually watching those images as you were speaking from the DRC in places where multinationals actually benefit from child labor. What does international law say about those kind of companies, and what can be done, especially in countries where it seems like the children are really used in the most unimaginable conditions of child labor?
Well, now the good news is that the new European due diligence directives have come, and that are going to force their companies as well as other companies which are using child labor in Africa or any other developing countries. So at least the European companies would be under tremendous pressure, and they have to comply with those laws. And there are a lot of punitive actions could be taken through these laws. So there are some good news about it. But more important is a sense of moral responsibility, which is unfortunately diminishing or squeezing around the world for African children.
Well, it's time for a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the scourge of child labor and how to protect children and keep them in school. Stay with us.
Times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Help. Wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Historically, politics have been viewed as a male-dominated area. Despite advancements in society over the last century, women continue to be underrepresented at parliamentary and state level. It has been said that women's participation in politics is a good judgment of a country's attitude towards gender inclusivity. This week in Our Voices, we'll take a closer look at young African women leading politically. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
Welcome back. You are with Straight Talk Africa. We are talking about the plight of child labor and efforts to end the exploitation of millions of children and keep them in school. With me from New Delhi, India, is Nobel Peace Prize laureate Kailash Satyarthi, a child labor and human rights activist and the founder of Kailash Satyarthi Children's Foundation. Now, Mr. Satyarthi, you know, we mentioned earlier a bit that, you know, the situation in African countries is aggravated by the fact that the continent still remains the lowest in social protection coverage in the whole world. Now, for a continent that actually produces so much, especially in mineral resources, as long as poverty persists, can you see a situation where you can end child labor in Africa, and especially when governments turn a blind eye to the use of children in labor for the benefit of multinational companies, which for these governments, the interpretation is that they're making money out of these minerals and other produce?
So I would underline here, first of all, that Africa cannot be blamed for poverty. It is not their creation. Of course, partly they could be held responsible, but not fully. The responsibility lies on the international community, the international corporations and the governments, the debt policies, aid policies, and trade policies. So a lot of things have to be done. And we cannot end poverty in Africa or anywhere in the world without ensuring education for every child, good quality education. And education cannot be guaranteed without ending child labor. And that is the reason that in sustainable development goals and before that, while making international laws and treaties, it has been resolved that we are going to put an end to child labor. So child labor, poverty, and illiteracy creates a vicious circle, as I said before. So investment has to be made. And if we are not able to protect African children, we cannot protect sustainability, peace, and justice in the world.
Yeah,
Africa is the mirror of the world. If Africa is producing so much wealth, then who should be held responsible for that? Everybody is responsible in the world. If even one single African child is forced into slavery and prostitution and trafficked and sold and bought like animals and sometimes in lesser price than the animals, mm-hmm. Everybody is responsible for that.
Yeah. So I have to say that you're really big on education. You've mentioned that I don't know how many times. I wasn't counting. But the fact is that you organized the Global March Against Child Labor. And because of that, it led to a global movement in about 103 countries. Tell us a little more about this and how many children you've been able to rescue and get back to school through this movement.
So, well, we organized this global march against child labor in 1998 from three corners of the world, one from Asia, from Manila, another one was from São Paulo, Latin America, and the third one was from Cape Town. So we have initiated this African march right from in front that jail where Madiba, Nelson Mandela, has been imprisoned for many, many years. The march has created worldwide movement, awareness, as well as political will. And that has immediately resulted in the new international law that is known as ILO Convention on the Worst Forms of Child Labor. And that time, the number of child laborers in the world was 250 million approximately, and that has come down to 152 million in 15, 16 years by 20, 2016. So we have achieved a lot of things because not only the awareness, but also the sense of responsibility and pressure on the governments as well as on the corporations, global and local corporations, has grown. As far as my work in India is considered, we have freed over 130,000 children physically from child labor, slavery, and trafficking during our work. I have been working for last more than 45 years. So, but in other countries, more than 25,000 organizations joined hands with us, and across 144 countries. So it has its multiple positive impacts.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of education, and we know that you have also been a major champion, of course, of education, because you want these kids to get off child labor and go back to school. Then we have this number of countries where you find the education system is inaccessible to the poor, and these kids are forced to stay home, and because of the poverty within the family, they end up actually being employed elsewhere or even smuggled to go to other places to work so that the family can get some financial help. How does the international community work with individual countries and then the families in turn in order to have children staying in school despite their social status, whether they're poor or not?
There are some programs, particularly on education. There is a flagship program of the United Nations agencies and the international community. And that is known as a Global Partnership in Education. So I was among the initial founders of this initiative. Earlier it was called Fast Track Initiative. So that is a flagship program to mobilize resources for the low-income countries, which is those who are facing financial crisis and have demonstrated political will through good policies and laws to ensure education for every child. So this is the financing mechanism which is working to ensure that. There are other bilateral programs and supports from some of the European countries to African countries that is there. Again, the ILO runs some programs together with UNICEF and other groups in few countries. I have been the part of some programs in Ghana and Ivory Coast, also in education-related activities in Kenya, Malawi, and other places. So wherever there was enough support, financial support, to ensure education or to implement laws related to child labor, we have seen success stories. So it can happen. I would say that African Union, for example, in particular, has recently launched a program, a consortium to ensure the well-being and protection of children, what we call the children on move, as well as on child labor. And that is being coordinated jointly by ILO, UNICEF, and some other agencies. So I hope that there would be some success. But some countries like Uganda, Malawi, Kenya, they have some success stories and they have jointly created a consortium again to take the eradication of child labor forward. African Union has made a full plan of action for 15 years to ensure eradication of child labor. But many of these countries are genuinely trying to implement international treaties and their national laws and commitment, but they don't have enough resources. So it is the collective responsibility and ILO Convention 182 on the worst forms of child labor clearly asks the rich countries to support those countries who are facing the financial crisis in eradication of child labor.
Yes. Do you have a best let's say, the best case study where an individual country has succeeded in putting into place some of those structures to ensure that they get the kids out of child labor, and especially we're talking about either African countries or Asian countries, could even be in India, success stories that could be a model for other countries?
Well, there are many success stories around the world, also in Africa. Look, Namibia is not a very rich country, but they have a very strong program. Kenya has very strong program, and they are investing quite a lot on education for children as well as on child labor eradication. They have a robust program working with civil society, international agencies, and corporate sector. So there are some countries which have shown some good results, definitely. So it is possible. As far as very big success stories, we can talk of Bolsa Escola and Bolsa Familia programs in Brazil, and that has been also taken by some of the Asian and including African countries, and that is focusing on social protection programs for children. So that is also in India, for example, the midday meal program, the school feeding programs, the stipend for poor children and the excluded societies' children has yielded some good results, along with good laws. So the local laws have to be robust and they have to be properly implemented. It is also the responsibility of the African governments, individual government, to make sure that the laws have to be properly enforced, and there should be an accountability mechanism, accountability system on the agencies who are responsible for the enforcement of laws, beside other things which we were talking about. So there are good success stories where the civil society and the other agencies, government agencies and corporations, have worked hand in hand.
And very quickly, what could consumers, especially in the Western world, do as regards to the end product, especially of things where child labor might have been employed? What can they do to make sure they help fight against child labor?
Consumers have big power, definitely, and that should be used to demand child labor-free goods. And there is a success story which we have created, the first success story of consumers' power in a carpet industry in South Asia, that is known as Goodweave, where we have developed a full mechanism to certify, before that properly monitor, certify, and then a label on each single rug, which can suggest that it is child labor-free completely. And it has not harmed the industry. The demand for child labor-free rugs with that trademark, that rug mark now known as Goodweave, has increased. And due to that, the economy did not impeded an obstacle.
Wow. Thank you.
Success.
Thank
but
you.
What?
Thank you, sir. We'll have to leave it there.
It's
been a pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the show. Kailash Tiarty, Nobel Peace Laureate and founder of Kailash Tiarty Children's Foundation. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk across Africa and across the continent. Of course, I'll see you next time.